Okay, guys, I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to the book of James. This is going to be our final message in this series that we've been doing, living our everyday lives with Jesus. And we're going to look at the final section of verses 13 through 20. Now, we've been, for the last few months now, this is our 15th message. For the last few months now, we have been looking at the reality of what it means to live our lives for Jesus every day. And he's talked a lot about a lot of different things. Some of it almost kind of blends together in what he's trying to convey. And so he's kind of going to wrap it up by referring to what he talked about in the beginning of the letter. So let me kind of remind you what he talked about in the beginning of the letter, okay? In the beginning of the letter, in chapter 1, verse 2, he says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." And then he talks about if we lack wisdom. He also talks later in the same chapter about when you are tempted and you're facing sin, don't say it's God who does it. It's a result of your own desires. And so that's how we started out. We're getting ready to launch into this last final section, verses 13 through 20, and guess what he talks about? He talks about two things. The struggles we face and our sin. So he's kind of wrapping it up here, isn't he? But what he's going to talk to us about is, okay, so if you want to mark this down, if you want to write this point, it's not in any of your notes, you weren't meant to live this life alone. I need you to understand that. You weren't meant to live this life alone. So when we talk about being followers of Jesus Christ, this isn't about isolation. It's about community. It's about you being a part of a group of people who care for each other, who pray for each other, who encourage each other, who help each other. And that's what the essence of what this last section is about. In fact, it's going to be about pray for each other. Pray. And I'm not just talking about exercising an issue of religious activity and hope that it gets God's attention. It's really talking about you or maybe a group of you getting alone and going to God and saying, "Lord, I'm here to talk about my friend. And they need healing. I'm here to talk about this other friend. He's struggling in this area with sin. And he needs healing, or she needs healing. Lord, I'm here to talk with you about it because you're the hope. You're the one who can work in their lives. You're the one who can do this. Because the fact is that as I pray for them, I know the reality is that I'm probably going to face the same thing myself." Do you understand? We all realize that, right? At some point, your body is going to get weaker and be susceptible to what? Deterioration, because you're getting older. Sickness and disease. You also realize that you're a human being, and because of that, you may fall into some kind of sin yourself. And you need restoration. But the reality is, let's be honest, we can't do it on our own, right? You can't face sickness on your own. You always need somebody there with you. You can't face sin in your own life on your own. You're always going to need somebody there to help you through it, to restore you. And that's what he's going to be talking about here. He's going to wrap up this whole letter going back to the two things he talked about in the very beginning. Our struggles and our need for healing, our sin, and our need for restoration. And the key to finding those things is prayer But not just individual prayer. It's you and I praying for each other. So let's take a look at it. Okay, so I want you to notice with me, verse 13, we'll start there. Here's what James writes in this final section. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man has great power in its working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if any among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Now here's what we're going to do, folks. We're going to take this portion of Scripture, about 8 verses, and we're going to divide it into 4 sections. Okay? We're going to divide it into 4 sections because he's progressing to a point as he finally closes this out. So the first thing we're going to see is the initial response that you and I need to have. Then we're going to notice what it is to pray with faith. Okay? And then the reality that anyone can pray. And then we're going to look at the responsibility that you and I have towards each other. Okay? So let's talk about this. So first of all, the initial response. What do you mean the initial response? Okay. Let me ask you a question. Did anybody tell you something that this week, maybe it's just passing in a conversation, maybe you saw somebody in an aisle at Walmart, maybe it was you had a long conversation with somebody, maybe you saw something on Facebook, whatever it is, you personally saw the reality that somebody expressed to you that they're going through a difficult time, whatever it might be. Maybe it's a health issue, family issue, something's going on. You had somebody tell you that things aren't going well with them. I had somebody do that. Anybody else? You had somebody do that? Yeah, all of us. It's not in a given week that goes by that it's not just one person tells you, multiple people tell you, right? That's the life we live in. Now the question is, when somebody gives you that news, what do you do with it? What do you do with it? How do you respond to it? Sadly, can I say to you, because it happens so often, because we are constantly being told things and we observe things, we watch things, we witness things, which by the way, we do all the time, right? Whether we're reading, listening to the news and we hear about some tragedy there or whatever, we're constantly, we've kind of gotten into a groove where we maybe make a comment. Oh, that's terrible. But then we kind of put it out of our mind.